I wouldn't advise looking for it from your boss. And I wouldn't advise looking for it from even your family, because they're going to mess up big time. Right? And your church, as perfect a church as Shore Christian Fellowship might be, it's going to mess up. Is it okay to say that, Pastor John?
Yeah.
They weren't looking. They weren't hanging their hope on this life. Having seen them afar off, not having seen them here, but having seen them afar off, they were looking to that faraway land, which really isn't that far. You know what? It's only a breath away. I would love to drop dead ministering. I would love to drop dead either while I'm preaching or sharing the gospel with somebody. I would love to drop dead crying out to God in prayer. And as soon as I drop dead, I'm there in that far off land. Because to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. They were looking and they were assured of them. How were they assured of them? By faith. They were looking to heaven. They were looking for their Creator. They understood that there was no way life could be just about here. It just doesn't make sense, does it? Come on, come on. My dear sister, don't tell me your age, but you've lived a few years. You told me you're old out here in the hallway today, right? Okay. I didn't say it. You said it. So you've lived these years. Is the substance of the glory of life here on this planet? Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? It's just not here. And they knew that. They were assured. They were assured of the promises. Their hope was in another land. And because they not only were assured of them, but they embraced the promises of eternity. That's different than just thinking about them. We're not talking about head knowledge. These people, life is hard. These people are in persecution that are being written to in Hebrews 11, right? They're struggling. And the writer of Hebrews is saying the people of faith had one foot here and one foot in heaven already. That's how they were living. They embraced heaven. They were living for heaven. They were thinking about heaven. And that's why Peter, when he writes to the Christians in the dispersion who were being persecuted, and they were out in all the areas, and he says to them, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that does not fade away. It does not pass away. And it's there being kept for you in heaven." And then Paul's writing to the Philippians. And the Philippians are going through struggle. There's a Roman colony. And the Romans are persecuting the Christians. And he writes to them and said, "You know what? My heart breaks and it grieves for these people who call themselves Christians, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who are setting their minds on earthly things. My heart breaks for them. They're enemies of the cross of Christ," he says. And then right after that he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform this lowly body and bring it into His glorious body, by His working, by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself." He said, listen, don't set your mind on earthly things. Our citizenship's there. Jesus is coming back, and there's going to be a new body. And the hope of the believer in the New Testament was for that place, heaven, for their Savior, and for the new body that they were going to get. They embraced them. It wasn't just... they just didn't casually every once in a while think about it. How many of y'all just, man, you get an A+ on thinking about eternity? How many of you? Not me either. That's why I pray, God stamp eternity on my eyes. So let me give you a little picture. Almost 2 years ago, My oldest daughter, Hope, called me on the phone and said, "Dad, I found your wife for you." Right? And her name was Linda. And so I started thinking about Linda. And I wondered, Lord, is this the woman I've been praying for? Now, here's what I could have done. I could have gone on thinking about that for months, years. And then every once in a while I have the thought in my mind again. Linda. Oh yeah, maybe she's the one. And then go on another couple more months. Linda. But I didn't just think about it. I prayed about it, and then I got in my car and drove to Mount Airy. And I made that scary little trek from my car door up to her door and knocked on the door. And then brought her to my car and we went out. And then we went through those awkward first weeks of getting to know each other and being friends. And then I was smitten. And had the glorious woo of falling in love with this woman. Right? And then I asked her to marry me. And so I wasn't just thinking about her. I became assured that this was the woman. And I embraced her.
Yeah.
These people were not just casually thinking about heaven. They were assured of it, and they embraced the promises that lay in that land. Do you see? This is an intentional thing. It is not some kind of thing that just maybe you passive and it happens. No, they set their eyes on that land. And this is the encouragement for you and I to set our eyes there and to set our hopes there. They were strangers and pilgrims. Wow, strangers, that takes some real thinking on our part. That means they're out of place, they're foreigners, they're aliens. We are aliens, we're legal aliens, but we're aliens in this land. It's a hot political topic, right? Yeah, I know. But we are legal aliens, but we're aliens. You're an alien. Woo! Yeah. Okay, you're an alien. All right. This is not our place. It's just not our place. That's what it's saying. And that's how they viewed themselves. They were strangers. They were aliens. And they wanted to be home. And this wasn't home. And they were pilgrims. They were traveling. They were traveling. It's not home. You try to dig down here, and there's no foundation. And that's why I gave you that sheet of scriptures, right? This sheet of scriptures, take a peek at it and look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, at the very top right there. It's talking about Abraham. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The home we're going to has foundations. I guarantee you're not going to get settled here. Change will come. You'll be blown away. You can't make this permanent. And they were traveling. They were traveling to their home. And I love this quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones. I can't wait to meet Martin Lloyd-Jones. Oh, I'm going to go sit in his tent and listen to his teaching. But here's what he says. He says, the world is an inn. He quotes a poet. And he says, in it, you spend the night, pay your bill in the morning, and go on. We're just traveling through the world. We're a stranger, pilgrim. And as such, we obviously keep in the forefront, he thinks in the forefront of his thinking, the place to which he is going. He can do certain things en route, but if you set out on a journey, your object's to get where you're going, not to get into where you're traveling. Does that make sense? Traveling is a means of bringing you to the goal to which you want to arrive. It's a perfect picture of the life of Christians. It means, therefore, he doesn't settle down in this world and feel anxious to do it and regret the fact that he has to go out of it. He should be anxious to arrive and to be constantly reminding himself of the place of which he's going to arrive. He would have never have set out for that destination if he didn't want to get there. That's what it is to be a pilgrim. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. How are you doing with that? See, we're not just talking here. This is not just a sermon. You go and say, yeah, I went to church, heard a sermon. No. God wants to do something inside you to stir your mind and your heart and my mind and my heart to get you thinking right. And those of you who have been thinking right, to encourage you on in it. Does that make sense? I want you to picture this. Has anybody here ever been to Cancun, Mexico? Have you ever heard about Cancun, Mexico? Okay, it's a great resort place, all right? So I want you to picture 5 years, your family has sweat and struggled to save up money and for this vacation to Cancun, Mexico. You've seen the pictures. White, beautiful sandy beach, sparkling clear ocean water, and the resort, just clean, pristine, big, huge pools and food everywhere. And the package you're going to get gives you this ticket, and it means you can eat any time of the day, any restaurant. You just take your ticket and you can eat whatever you want all the time. You're planning on this time. Your family's planning on this time. The day comes. And actually, you've been sending your money little by little. They have this deal. You send so much every month, and you're discounted for it. And so the time comes. Hop in the car. Family's on the way. Got to drive overnight to get to the airport. It's a little ways away. And you stop at a Motel 6. I don't have anything against Motel 6s. They keep the lights on for you. You know what I mean? So, but you stop there, and it's in the city. Yeah. Okay, guys. It's in the city. It's dirty. The streets are dirty. It's like really kind of yucky. You go in, and it's musty smelling, and it's just this hole in the wall place, but it's got some beds. Everybody piles into the beds because you don't care. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about Cancun. So you do, and you get up in the morning, and Dad says, you know, I've been laying here thinking, I kind of like this place. Right? And you think, yeah, okay, let's go. And Dad says, you know what? I've been thinking, maybe we just hang out here a few days. And you think, let's go. He says, no, I need to go for a walk and pray about this. And Dad goes out and he comes back and says, you know what? I just think this is the greatest place. We're going to spend our 2-week vacation here and not go to Cancun. And you would say, you are nuts, wouldn't you? That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. That's what the church is doing. We're in a Motel 6 on the way to the glorious land, and we're everything, the devil and the world and the flesh, is trying to get us enthralled with the Motel 6. And God's saying, get up and keep going. The place you're going, I have made, I have built, and it is perfect and glorious. Get your mind on that. Don't get distracted with this. Those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They're seeking it. Their hope is in heaven. The driving hope of the early church, as it was with these Hebrews 11 folks, was heaven. And there's no way this can be home. There is a groaning. The Bible says, if this house, our earthly tent, is destroyed. It's talking about our body. We have a building from God, a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then it says, in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, right? There's a groaning. Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, the whole creation groans. And not only they, but ourselves also, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What does that mean? New body. There's a groaning in us. It's not right here, is it? There's something in us that knows this just isn't right. Another phone call, more bad news, more difficulty in the body, more strife in the family relationships. This isn't right. It's all messed up. And so there's a groaning in us, and these people were groaning.